ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, Okay, so nature, the enjoyer, and the consciousness. Chapter 13, verses 8 to 12. Okay, so I repeat, and then we can all repeat. Amani tvam adambi tvam Ahimsaksha nirarjavam Acharyopasanam shaucham Stairyamatma vinigraham Indriyartheshu vairagyam Anahankara evacha Janma mrityu jara vyadhi Dukkha dosha nudarshanam Asaktiranu bhishvanga Putradara grihadishu Nityam cha samachitatvam Ishtanishto papattishu Maichananya yogena Bhaktir avyabhicharini Vivikta desha sevitvam Aratir jana samsadi Adhyatma jnana nityatvam Tattva jnanartha darshanam Etajnanam iti proktam Ajnanam yat ato nyataha. Yeah. Amani tvam adam vitvam Ahimsak shantir arjavam Acharyopasanam shocham Stairyam atma vinigraham Indriyarteshu vairagyam Anahankara evacha Janma mrityu jara vyadi Dukkha dosha nudarshanam Asaktir anabhishvanga Putradara grihadishu Nityam cha samatit chitvatvam Ishtanishto papatishu Maichananya yogena Bhakti ravyabhicharini Vikta desha sevitvam Aratir jana samsri Adhyatma jnana nityatvam Tattva jnanartha darshanam Etaj jnanam iti proktam Ajnanam yadatonyatam. Next. Hinsa shanti rajavam Acharyopasanam shocham Stairyam atma vinigraham Indriyarteshu vairagyam Anahankara evacham Janma mrityu jara vyadi Dukkha dosha nudarshanam Asaktirana bhishvanga Utradara grihadishu Nityam cha samachitatvam Ishtanishto papatishu Maichananya yogena Aktiravya vicharini vivikta desha sevitvam arthir jana samsadi adhyatma jnana nityatvam tatva jnanartha darshanam etajnanam iti proktam ajnanam yat ato nyatam. Amani tvam adam bhitvam ahimsa shantirarjavam acharyo pasanam shaucham sa vinigraham indriyarteshu vairagyam anahankara evacham janma mrityu jara vyadi dukha dorsha anudarshanam asakti rana bhishvanga putra dara grihadishu nityam cha samachitatvam ishtanishtopapatishu mayicha nanya yogena bhaktiravya vicharini vikta desha sevitvam aratir jana sansadi adhyatma jnana nityatvam tatva jnana Agnanyarato nyata. Thank you. Okay, so Krishna's garland, the sign. Amanitvam, humility. Adambhitvam, pridelessness. Ahimsa, non-violence. Shantihi, tolerance. Arjavam, simplicity. Acharyopasanam, approaching a bona fide spiritual master. Shaucham, cleanliness. Stairyam, steadfastness. Atma vinigraha, self-control. Indriya artishu, in the matter of the senses. Vairagyam, renunciation. Anuhankaraham, without being without false egoism. Evam, certainly. Cha, also. Janma, of birth. Mrityu, death. Jara, old age. Vyadhi, and disease. Dukha, of the distress. Dosha, default. Anudarshanam, observing. Asaktihi, being without attachment. Anabhishvangaha, being without association. Putra, for son. Dara, wife. Griha adishu, home. Nityam, constant. Cha, also. Samachitatvam, equilibrium. Ishta, the desirable. Anishta, and undesirable. Upapattishu, having obtained. Mayi, onto me. Cha, also. Ananya yogena, by unalloyed devotional service. Bhaktihi, devotion. Avyabhicharini, without any break. Vivikta, to solitary. Desha, places. Sevitvam, aspiring. Aratihi, being without attachment. Janasamasadi, to people in general. Adhyatma, pertaining to the self. Jnana, in knowledge. Nityatvam, constancy. Tattvajnana, of knowledge of the truth. Artha, for the object. Darshanam, philosophy. Etat, all this. Jnanam, knowledge. Iti, thus. Proktam, declared. Ajnanam, ignorance. Yet, that which. Ata, from this. Anyata, other. Okay, translation and few pages of purport of Srila Prabhupada. Humility, humility, pridelessness, non-violence, tolerance, simplicity, approaching a bona fide spiritual master, cleanliness, steadiness, self-control, renunciation of the objects of the sense gratification, absence of false ego, the perception of the evil of birth, death, old age and disease, detachment, freedom from entanglement with children, wife, home and the rest, even-mindedness amid pleasant and unpleasant events, constant and unalloyed devotion to me, aspiring to live in a solitary place, detachment from the general mass of people, accepting the importance of self-realization and philosophical search for the absolute truth. All these I declare to be knowledge, and besides this, whatever there may be is ignorance. This process of knowledge is sometimes misunderstood by less intelligent men as being the interaction of the field of activity. But actually, this is the real process of knowledge. If one accepts this process, then the possibility of approaching the absolute truth exists. This is not the interaction of the 24 elements as described before. This is actually the means to get out of entanglement of those elements. Embodied soul is enchapped by the body, which is a casing made of 24 elements, and the process of knowledge, as described here, is the means to get out of it. Of all the descriptions of the process of knowledge, the most important point is described in the first line of the 12th verse. Mai chananya yogena bhaktiravya vicharini. The process of knowledge terminates in unalloyed devotional service to the Lord. So if one does not approach, or is not able to approach, the transcendental service of the Lord, then the other 19 items are of no particular value. But if one takes the devotional service in full Krishna consciousness, the other 19 items automatically develop within him, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 5.18.12. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana sarvair gunaishtatra samasate suraham. All the good qualities of knowledge develop in one who has attained the stage of devotional service. The principle of accepting a spiritual master, as mentioned in the 8th verse, is essential. Even for one who takes to devotional service, it is most important. Transcendental life begins when one accepts a bona fide spiritual master. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, clearly states here that this process of knowledge is the actual path. Anything speculated beyond this is nonsense. As of the knowledge outlined here, the items may be analyzed as follows. Humility means that one should not be anxious to have the satisfaction of being honored by others. The material conception of life makes us very eager to receive honor from others. But from the point of view of a man in perfect knowledge, who knows what he is, that he is not this body, anything honor or dishonor pertaining to this body is useless. One should not be hankering after this material deception. People are very anxious to be famous for their religion, and consequently sometimes it is found that without understanding the principles of religion, one enters into the group which is not actually following religious principles and then wants to advertise himself as a religious mentor. As for actual advancement in spiritual science, one should have a test to see how far he is progressing. He can judge by these items. Non-violence is generally taken to mean not killing or destroying the body, but actually non-violence means not to put others into distress. People in general are trapped by ignorance in the material concept of life, and they perpetually suffer material pains. So unless one elevates people to spiritual knowledge when he's practicing violence, one should try his best to distribute real knowledge to the people so that they may become enlightened and leave this material entanglement that is nonviolence. Tolerance means that one should practice to bear insult and dishonor from others. If one is engaged in the advancement of spiritual knowledge, there will be so many insults and much dishonor from others. This is expected because material nature is so constituted. Even a boy like Prahlad, who only 5 years old, was engaging in the cultivation of spiritual knowledge, was endangered when his father became antagonistic to his devotion. The father tried to He was against his devotion. The father tried to kill him in so many ways. But Prahlad tolerated him. So there may be many impediments to make advancement in spiritual knowledge, but we should be tolerant and continue our progress with determination. Simplicity means that without diplomacy, one should be so straightforward that he can disclose the real truth even to an enemy. As for acceptance to the spiritual master, that is essential, because without the instruction of a bona fide spiritual master, one cannot progress in the spiritual science. One should approach the spiritual master with all humility and offer him all services to that he will be pleased to bestow his, so that he will be pleased to bestow his blessings upon the disciple. Because a bona fide spiritual master is a representative of Krishna, if he bestows any blessing upon his disciple, that will make the disciple immediately advanced without the disciples following the regulative principles. Or the regulative principles will be easier for one who has served the spiritual master without reservation. Cleanliness is essential for making advancement in spiritual life. There are two kinds of cleanliness, external and internal. External cleanliness means taking a bath, but for internal cleanliness, one has to think of Krishna always and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This process cleans the accumulated dust of past karma from the mind. Steadiness means that one should be very determined to make progress in in spiritual life. Without such determination, one cannot make tangible progress, and self-control means that one should not accept anything which is detrimental what a word, to the path of spiritual progress. One should become accustomed to this and reject anything which is against the path of spiritual progress. This is real renunciation. The senses are so strong that they are always anxious to have sense gratification. One should not cater to these demands, which are not necessary. The senses should only be gratified to keep the body fit so that one can discharge his duty in advancing in spiritual life. The most important and uncontrollable sense is the tongue. If one can control the tongue, then there is every possibility of controlling the other senses. The function of the tongue is to taste and to vibrate. Therefore, by systematic regulation, the tongue should always be engaged in tasting the remnants of foods offered to Krishna and chanting Hare Krishna. As far as the eyes are concerned, they should not be allowed to see anything but the beautiful form of Krishna. That will control the eyes. Similarly, the ears should be engaged in hearing about Krishna and the nose in smelling the flavors offered to Krishna. This is the process of devotional service, and it is understood here that Bhagavad Gita is simply expounding the science of devotional service. Devotional service is the main and sole objective. Unintelligent commentators on the Bhagavad Gita try to divert the mind of the reader to other subjects, but there is no other subject in Bhagavad Gita than devotional service. False ego means accepting this body as oneself. When one understands that he is not his body and his spirit soul, he comes to his real ego. Ego is there. False ego is condemned, but not real ego. In the Vedic literature, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 1.4.10, it is said, Aham Brahmasmi, I am Brahman, I am spirit, this I am. The science of self, the science of self also exists in the liberated stage of self-realization. This sense of I am is ego, but when the sense of I am is applied to this false body, it is false ego. When the sense of self is applied to reality, that is real ego. There are some philosophers who say we should give up our ego, but we cannot give up our ego because ego means identity. We ought, of course, to give up the false identification with the body. One should try to understand the distress of accepting birth, death, old age, and disease. There are descriptions in various Vedic literature of birth in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The world of the unborn, the child stained the womb of a mother, its suffering, etc., are all very graphically described. It should be thoroughly understood that birth is distressful, because we forget how much distress we have suffered within the womb of the mother. We do not make any solution to the repetition of birth and death. Similarly, at the time of death, there are all kinds of sufferings, and they are also mentioned in authoritative scriptures. This should be discussed. And as far as disease and old age are concerned, everyone gets practical experience. No one wants to be diseased, and no one wants to become old, but there is no avoiding this. Unless we have a pessimistic view of this material life, considering the distress of birth, death, old age, and disease, there is no impetus for our making advancement in spiritual life. As for detachment from children, wife, and home, it is not meant that one should have no feeling for this. They are natural objects of affection, but when they are not favorable to spiritual progress, then one should not be attached to them. The best process for making the home pleasant is Krishna consciousness. If one is in full Krishna consciousness, he can make his home very happy. Because this process of Krishna consciousness is very easy. One need only chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Accept the remnants of foodstuffs offered to Krishna. Have some discussion on books like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and engage oneself in deity worship. These four things will make one happy. One should train the members of his family in this way. The family members can sit down morning and evening and chant together, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. If one can mold his family life in this way to develop Krishna consciousness following these four principles, then there is no need to change from family life to renounced life. But if it is not congenial, not favorable for spiritual advancement, then family life should be abandoned. One must sacrifice everything to realize or serve Krishna, just as Arjuna did. Arjuna did not want to kill his family members, but when he understood that these family members were impediments to his Krishna realization, he accepted the instruction of Krishna and fought and killed them. In all cases, one should be detached from the happiness and distress of family life. Because in this world, one can never be fully happy or fully miserable. Happiness and distress are committing factors of material life. One should learn to tolerate, as advised in Bhagavad Gita. One can never restrict the coming and going of happiness and distress, so one should be detached from the materialistic way of life and be automatically equipoised in both cases. Generally, when we get something desirable, we are very happy, and when we get something undesirable, we are distressed. But if we are actually in the spiritual position, these things will not agitate us. To reach that stage, we have to practice unbreakable devotional service. Devotional service to Krishna without deviation means engaging oneself in the nine processes of devotional service, chanting, hearing, worshipping, offering respects, etc., as described in the last verse of the ninth chapter. That process should be followed. Naturally, when one is adapted to the spiritual way of life, he will not want to mix with materialistic men. That would go against his grain. One may test himself by seeing how far he is inclined to live in a solitary place without unwanted association. Naturally, a devotee has no taste for unnecessary sporting or cinema going or enjoying some social function, because he understands that these are simply a waste of time. There are many research scholars and philosophers who study sex life or some other subject, But according to Bhagavad Gita, such research work and philosophical speculation have no value. That is more or less nonsensical. According to Bhagavad Gita, one should make research by philosophical discretion into the nature of the soul. One should make research to understand the self. That is recommended here. As far as self-realization is concerned, it is clearly stated here that Bhakti Yoga is especially practical. As soon as there is a question of devotion, one must consider the relationship between the super soul and the individual soul. The individual soul and the super soul cannot be one, at least not in the bhakti conception, devotional conception of life. This service of the individual soul to the supreme soul is eternal, nityam, as it is clearly stated. So bhakti or devotional service is eternal. One should be established in that philosophical conviction. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 2:1-11, this is explained. Vadanti tattva vidas tattvam yajnanam advayam. Those who are actually knowers of the absolute truth know that the self is realized in three different faces as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Bhagavan is the last word in realization of the absolute truth. Therefore, one should reach up to that platform of understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus engage in devotional service of the Lord. That is the perfection of knowledge. Beginning from practicing humility up to the point of realization of the Supreme Truth, the Absolute Personality of Godhead, this process is just like a staircase beginning from the ground floor and going up to the top floor. Now on this staircase there are so many people who have reached the first floor, the second or the third floor, etc. But unless one reaches the top floor, which is the understanding of Krishna, he is at the lower stage of knowledge. If anyone wants to compete with God and at the same time make advancement in spiritual knowledge, he will be frustrated. It is clearly stated that without humility, understanding is not truly possible. To think oneself God is most puffed up. Although the living entity is always being kicked by the stringent laws of material nature, he still thinks, I am God, because of ignorance. The beginning of knowledge, therefore, is amanitvam, humility. One should be humble and know that he is subordinate to the Supreme Lord. Due to rebellion against the Supreme Lord, one becomes subordinate to material nature. One must know and be convinced of this truth. Panchatattvatmakam krishna bhakta rupa sarupakam bhakta tara bhakta kinam bhakta shaktikam he krishna krina sindhulina mandala gritte goksha gopika kanta radha kanta namastate tatta kanchana gaurangi radhe vrindavani shari vrishabhanu sutta devi pranamana lippi. Hare Krishna. Welcome in Hare Krishna Temple. Oh, okay. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Oh, good. Jai. We got here a very vast topic. What is the knowledge and what is not knowledge? Krishna is defining. Before we, in previous verses, few verses before, we heard about the elements of which consists the field of activity. And those elements are made of material, these are material elements. Earth, water, fire, ether, senses, objects of the senses. This is all the creation of material nature. This verse is showing something different. This verse is showing that there is something that is beyond material nature. Beyond ignorance. This verse is showing about knowledge. Krishna is here in four verses defining what is knowledge. He says humility. these are the qualities of a person who is in knowledge. Person whose conception is not in ignorance, who is not bewildered, who does not mix a rope for a snake, who knows what is what, who knows what is matter, what is spirit. Such a person have very good discrimination. Such a person knows what is good, what is bad, based on Shastric principles, based on what Krishna is saying. Bhagavad Gita are the words of Krishna. This is the law that Krishna is giving. So he is saying that what is good is something that is beyond this material creation. So humility is natural tendency of a person who is a Paramahamsa, who is self-realized, who is realized of Krishna. For this is first step in progress, in spiritual progress. One has to develop humility. One has to feel oneself hopeless, entrapped in material world. I am soul which is conditioned by matter, which is covered by ignorance, have no good discrimination. Therefore, I turn towards Krishna. And Krishna is great. Krishna is greatest. And Krishna is very compassionate. And the quality of humility attracts Krishna's mercy. So when one says, I am very humble, I am very unfortunate because I do not have mercy of Krishna, I am bewildered, therefore Krishna will be attracted to that, and he will, if a person is turning towards Krishna for help, it is very nice if a person turns towards Krishna and says, please help me. Because Krishna is also transcendental Lord. Then pridelessness, this is connected, humility and pridelessness. One is not proud when one is praised. If someone comes and says, oh, you have done such a good service, you have done such a good work. And then somehow, oh yes, I am very important, I am in the center. And then this is pride. Which is also not, this pride is not good for progress in spiritual life. Pridelessness again attracts Krishna's mercy. If someone, whether someone says something good or something bad, one tolerates and continues to be humble, this will attract Krishna's attention. This will bring a spiritual advancement. This is natural quality of a sadhu, of someone who is realized in knowledge. Krishna is the ultimate authority. So if he says these things work, then these things work. Then non-violence, ahimsa. In the world we see that there is a lot of violence going on. Violence on a physical platform, animals are killed for no proper reason. Basically to kill animals. There is no reason to kill animals, in fact. Because the grains and vegetables and so on, the food should be grown from earth. That's food for human beings. So animals should not be killed. But there is, Prabhupada mentions in the commentary that there is another aspect to the non-violence. It is not creating distress to other people. That is non-violence. So what is the best thing that, not just that is not creating distress to someone else, but is reducing someone else's distress? What is the best way to get rid of distress? Because distress is a big question nowadays. It's a lot of people who are distressed. Some they accept, okay, I'm distressed, I have understood. And some people, they say, I'm not distressed, although they're distressed. So, what is the best way to get rid of distress? The best way of getting rid of distress is to dedicate one's life to Krishna. And in connection to other people is to help others to come closer to Krishna. Yeah. Yes. Because Krishna, whatever comes in contact with Krishna becomes purified. So where is the question of distress? If activities, thoughts, this is purified, then what is the question of distress? So this is philosophy. This is applicable philosophy, which is very hard philosophy, because it is against the principles that we see in secular society. To cause someone else distress is not very often a question, whether you're causing someone else distress or I'm causing someone else distress. We just follow the intuition, or just as if it would be part of us. You know, it's like abuse someone with words and so on. This becomes sometimes normal. But even if someone is nice to someone, without adding Krishna, this is not complete. One has to add Krishna, because Krishna has to be in the center of everything. At that point, person can say is without distress. So devotional service relieves one of distress, and help someone in progress of devotional service towards Krishna. That is greatest, highest form of ahimsa. There are more levels of ahimsa, as we mentioned, but the highest form of ahimsa is to protect the soul. When someone is protecting someone's soul, means I help someone in advancing Krishna consciousness. I give someone prasad from Gopinath. I give someone a book about spiritual knowledge. I tell someone about Krishna. And the best one is to chant Hare Krishna together. Like Prabhupada mentions in this purport, he recites a Hare Krishna mantra 4 times. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And this is very simple thing to do, to chant Hare Krishna. And this is how we can help ourselves and how we can help others in advancement, spiritual advancement. People are concerned about how their life will be comfortable, about how they will expand their possessions, and so on. This is their only concern. But because it is without Krishna, then this will not bring ultimate success. Because, as we heard from the commentary and the verse, there should be some... one should be conscious about old age, death and disease that is coming, and birth. So these things are there, and these are things that we are facing inevitably. It's just now something hurts here in my body. It's like, I don't know what it is. It is a kidney or something, I'm facing some discomfort. Or this is very practical. This is completely sectarian. Knowledge is a fact that every human being is suffering disease, sometimes less, sometimes more. And there is old age is coming. Our body is transforming. My body was different 10 years ago, and today is different. And after 10 years, 100% it will be different. No doubt about it. So sooner or later, it will be so different that I will have to leave the body. So this is good thing to think about this inevitable miseries of life, because then we will turn towards what is outside. We will turn inside to the soul. We will turn towards Krishna, because soul, aham brahmasmi, soul is transcendental. I am Brahman means I am soul, I am spiritual, beyond disease and old age. But because of the conditioning, I have to suffer. But I have to get rid of this conditioning, turn towards Krishna. Krishna is also Brahman, Krishna is also spiritual. Connection with Krishna, that is knowledge. As Prabhupada says here, of this verse that we read, is that the main thing of this verse, the main part of this definition, what is knowledge, is devotional service. Constant and many pleasant, unpleasant events, constant and unalloyed devotion to me, Krishna says. This is the most important element in the definition of what is knowledge. That's why humility must be there, because we have to understand, old age will come, disease will come, I will have to die. What will I do at that time? I will be alone. Unless, if I don't turn to transcendental Lord, Shri Krishna, then through that I will understand, okay, I am soul, which cannot be slain, which cannot die, Krishna Bhagavad Gita says. So this is knowledge. This is transcendence. This is Brahman. This should be Atato Brahma Jigyasa Jigyasam. Let's discuss Brahman. Let's discuss Krishna. Let's discuss soul. This is knowledge. This is important. Let's discuss devotional service. Chanting of Hare Krishna is activity which is devotional service. Devotional service can be understood as this is an activity, or it is realization. One can see from two different perspectives. What means progress in devotional service? One level is that one becomes engaged with body, with the senses, with tongue, with eyes. With eyes, we look at the Lord. With the tongue, we chant Hare Krishna mantra. And taste Mahaprasadam coming from the Lord with Pujari's offer, and so on. There is another thing. There is levels of realization. With the performance of activity in devotional service, the realization will follow. One can also cultivate realization. We're talking about knowledge here, and knowledge, philosophy, wisdom has a lot to do with realization. Realization comes after contemplation. So when someone is meditating, focusing on the statements of Shastra, on the lotus feet of Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, in the form of the deity, or one is focusing, trying to meditate on Maha Mantra, and so on, in this way one becomes realized of the soul, realized of Krishna, and realized of devotional service. So activity and realization, both are important. And Krishna has to be in the center, because that is his natural position. What is material existence? Person in material existence wants to ignore Krishna, wants to forget Krishna, wants to say Krishna is not present. Krishna does not exist. But Krishna is God. How can someone be God if he is not present everywhere? So Krishna has to be brought into the picture. And everything should be seen, and one should behave in such a way that one pleases Krishna. One with a humble attitude approaches Krishna through activities, through prayer, through offering the deity worship and so on. So in this way. Okay, so even-mindedness. There's another very important point for our devotees here. When there is, I became a little bit worried when I read. Self-control should be there. Renunciation of the objects of the sense gratification. And then this is one thing. Absence of false ego, the perception of the... Freedom from entanglement with children, wife, home, and the rest. So these two things are very controversial, I would say. Because one is a person in material life then thinks, oh, I must increase the objects of the sense gratification. This will give me protection. And then I should sacrifice everything for home, children, wife, and the rest. So I became a little bit worried what to do. Now Krishna is very strict. But what does Prabhupada say in this regard? He says we should not misunderstand this. We should understand that renunciation of the object of the sense gratification means that we should utilize what we have for Krishna and not be overly attached. We should have enough that we can serve Krishna. That is the point. And freedom from entanglement with children, wife, home, and the rest, Prabhupada gives a very nice explanation. He says, as for detachment from children, wife, and home, it is not meant that one should have no feeling for this. That one should be hard-hearted, should think this is not important. No, this is not knowledge. They are natural objects of affection. But when they are unfavorable to spiritual progress, then one should not be attached to them. The question of attachment is there. The best process for making home pleasant is Krishna consciousness. This is a very important statement. Because Prabhupada does not say we have to neglect, we have to think that this is very bad, or this is materialistic. If I have home, if I have possessions, if I have home, if I have job, that I have money, have business, that this, I shouldn't think this is not good. This is very good. But what is the best is, the best process for making the home pleasant is Krishna consciousness. If one is in full Krishna consciousness, he can make his home very happy. Because this process of Krishna consciousness is very easy. One need only chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this is the basis. We don't say renunciation, we don't say that. We say proper renunciation. One should not think that whatever I possess belongs to me. I am the center of everything. This is coming from Krishna. And this is for this the responsibility for this I have. This is what I have. But this belongs to Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays, O Krishna, I have family. He had 12 children. He said, this is my wife, this is my family, but this is not my wife, this is not my children. This is your children. These are your devotees. And I am helping. And he had a very good job. He was a magistrate. He was a judge. And he was providing with great amounts. He was supplying everything for his 12 children. And he said, Krishna, this is your family. I am just a servant. I am a helper. He was very humble. He submitted to other living beings. He helped them in Krishna consciousness. He accepted Krishna as Supreme Lord, and he accepted that his family belongs to Krishna. His possession, his money, his job belongs to Krishna. Krishna gave him that so that he can facilitate his own needs, his family's needs. So this is having Krishna in center. This is how nice it is. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is great acharya in his always ecstatic in love of Krishna. But why wouldn't he, if he's so ecstatic in connection to, if he's so attached to Krishna, why didn't he reject family? He said, no, family is part of my practice of Krishna consciousness. This is very good. Okay, I'll stop here. The time is to stop, although there is unlimited topics that we can discuss from this passage. Okay, thank you so much, Hare Krishna. Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you.